It gets slower every time. It gets slower going up every time. Well, amen. That looked like a good time. And all the silly stuff plus all the serious stuff. And praise the Lord for that. Let's turn to Exodus 24 this evening. Exodus 24. I know we are, a couple weeks removed from camp, so some of that stuff probably seemed like it was a long time ago. And yet, I'm sure, especially for the young people and the people that were there, you can bring it right back to being there. And so Exodus 24, and I want to just bring a thought here out of the scriptures this evening for us to go home with and start the new week with. But just this thought here, Exodus chapter 24, this is the chapter where Israel has come out of Egypt and they have crossed the Red Sea. They have seen the Lord do great and mighty things. In Exodus 24, God is dealing with the nation of Israel and he's about to bring them his law. He's about to give them his law. He's about to give that through Moses to the children of Israel. And here in chapter 24, he calls this group to separate themselves and to come to where God was making himself known. Look in verse number 9. We'll start reading in verse number 9. Exodus 24, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. They also saw God and did eat and drink." And so there's a manifestation of God that's happening here, manifestation of the Lord was happening in this place. And they knew that God was there, but not everyone got to partake in what God was doing. And so there was this group that was called apart, and they said, "All right, we're going to have these individuals, and we're going to come to part of the mount where you're going to see a manifestation of God." But yet, Moses and Joshua, as we're going to see here, are going to go and have some something special given to them of God. We can see this in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount," or ascend, if you would, "into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount." And so here is Moses and Joshua, and they are going up into the mount. They are going up into this elevated place, and they are going to meet with God. They're meet with him. It's separate from everyone else. It's separate from everything that's going on in camp. It's separate from being with their daily tasks and their daily duties and responsibilities. And God says, come up and gather yourself up together, and we're going to meet with you. And you find out in chapters 25 through 31, all these chapters, what happens is God speaks to Moses. God reveals things to Moses. He hears the law, and he comes back down. By the time we get to 31, he comes back down with the law. He has it in his hands. God has written it and given it to him, and he has given him his word. He has given him the law written on these tables of stone, and he says, all right, go back down, but you still have my law. And so the application here at the beginning is, young people, when you have a chance to go away to camp, it's different than it is here. It's different than when you're at home. You're around different people, and it's a different scenario. And you get drawn away, And when you get to camp, you have a chance to hear from God in a different place. You have a chance to go to a mountaintop where you get away from all of the stuff. And you have a chance to go and to hear the preaching and be separated and be around Bible and Bible things and teaching and preaching. You have opportunity to be around that more than you certainly would in a normal week. And so when you go there, you hear from the Lord, and it's almost as if at camp, you can almost hear the Lord more clearly. It's almost as if he's right there and he speaks and there's nothing kind of in the way. Well, at least by the time you get to maybe Wednesday, because it takes a while to get rid of all the world. I'm not even talking about sin or anything like that, but it just takes some time to get the stuff out of you so you can hear from the Lord plainly. And when you go to camp, boy, I mean, I still remember messages to this day when I went to camp. I'm going to be 47 next month. So say, what's that? That's math. That's a decent amount of math backwards to when I was at camp. And I can still remember messages that were preached. Why? It was just different. It was a good thing. It wasn't different in a bad way. It was different in a good way where the Lord could speak and the Lord could be very plain. And you hear from God. And you hear about his law and his word. And you come home with the same Bible, but you come home with the word of God kind of fresh and in your mind from the scriptures. And what happens in Exodus chapter 32 is Moses and Joshua come back off the mountain. And if you remember the story, they're coming back down and they're saying, something's not right here. What's going on? And they come back to just these 40 days and 40 nights when they're in the mountain and God's speaking and God's moving and working. And we find out here that Israel has gotten themselves into a mess. And Moses and Joshua are coming off the mountain after meeting with God and after seeing God and hearing from God and being separated from all the stuff. And they come back. What do they come back to? They come back to sin. They come back to idols. They come back to nakedness and dancing. They come back to these abominations. I mean, with God, come down off the mount, and they come straight down into just wickedness and idol worship. Yeah. They come back down to Egypt. They're with God. They come back to Egypt. You know, kind of like coming back to cell phones. Kind of like coming back to work. Kind of like coming back to school starting up. And what, just going from the mountaintop, going from being with the Lord and being able to hear him so plainly to coming back and being like, oh, here we are. Right now, some of it is under your control, right? The cell phone usage is under your control. All right. The amount of stuff that you put up with and the stand that you take at work and the stand that you take at school once that starts back up, those kind of things are going to be up to you. How much influence all of that has. But there is a little bit of, okay, we're back here. Now, that doesn't mean that God's done. It doesn't mean that, well, that was fun. That was when we were there. And now, you know, this is the normal life we live. And so it's got to be a drag. That's not the case. That's not how it has to be. And God knew this, and God understood this, and Moses knew this, and Moses understood this. So by the time we get to Exodus chapter 33, if you would turn over there, Exodus 33, we see that God sets up something here for repentance. God sets something up for people to be able to go and talk to God and hear from God. And what happens? Exodus chapter 33, look in verse number 7. Exodus 33, 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. All right, now this tabernacle, it's an interesting terminology here. It's not the tabernacle that would be built. That's going to take some skilled craftsmen to put together all the pieces of the tabernacle. You know, the table of showbread and the candlestick and the altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant and the needlework that had to go on the... It's not that tabernacle, but this is some type of tent, some type of tabernacle, some type of place that was established. And Moses calls it the tabernacle of the congregation. He didn't call it the tabernacle of Moses. He didn't say where this is where Moses goes and hears from God. He didn't call it the tabernacle of Joshua or of Aaron. He said, this is the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass, in verse 7, that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. Now the tent doors are in the camp. The tabernacle is without the camp. Moses goes out there, and they watch Moses walk in. They see the cloudy pillar descend. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and they say, man, God sure is good. From way over here in the camp, when the tabernacle was without the camp, separate from everything else, over there, and they stood in their tent doors leaning on the side going, huh, that's... Man, God's good to meet with us way over there. They were stuck there. They didn't want to go close to where God was. And in verse number 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Look at this. Look what it says. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, what kind of man was he? A young man. He departed not out of the tabernacle. Most are standing afar off. They're saying, yep, God can do something over there. God's meeting over there. But they're standing on this. They're standing over here. They're standing in the camp. Moses and Joshua go out. And Joshua stays in the tabernacle. Why? Because that's where God was. And Moses left, and there's a young man without a counselor, without a preacher, without a parent. And Joshua says, man, that's where I want to be. I want to be where God speaks. I want to be where God has something to say. Why? Because Joshua was up on the mountaintop. Joshua was up there, and I don't know how much the Lord spoke to Joshua or how much he knew that he was speaking to Moses. I don't know how much... I mean, Moses says, we and us, when we come down, and when him and I. We understand the terminology changes that God spoke to Moses, but Joshua was somewhere in the vicinity. And so Joshua, he says, boy, I was on the mountaintop, and now I come down, and it's just, ugh, down here. But God said, it doesn't have to be, ugh, down here. He says, the mountaintop's great, but you have to come down, and we have to be with everybody else. And we have to go to work. And we have to go to Walmart. And we have to get gas. And we have to keep doing the things that we have to do. But he says, God established a place where they knew that God was going to be. And where they could be interested in going out there and hearing from God. And a place where God was going to meet with them. And a place where when Joshua went to that place, he said, I'm going to stay here. Moses went back to tell the people what God had said. And Joshua said, I'm just going to hang out here a little bit longer. Why? Because that's where God could speak. Coming down from the mountain doesn't have to be, well, that's over. Yeah. No, that's it. I guess that's all it's going to be. No, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that. They come down in verse number 12. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, he's talking about the Lord, thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Coming off the mountain, they have the assurance of the Lord that he knows his name and he has grace in his sight. Not just up on the mountaintop, but down in the plain, in the valley, whatever geography where they were. Could have been both, a plain and a valley. Coming down off the mountain, there they are, and the Lord says, I know your name. You found grace in my sight. I'm still here with you. I'm still here. They found that assurance of God. Not only that, but in verse 13, it says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses says, I want to know what your direction is. I want to know what your way is. And they found direction after the mountaintop. Moses didn't always go back up to the mountaintop and be like, hello, Lord, I need to know which way we're supposed to turn now. No, God said he was going to lead them and guide them and direct them and reveal his way unto Moses and reveal his way unto his people. And God did that. Not on the mountaintop, but in the everyday, wake up, it's a new day, on we go. Wherever the Lord wants us to go. They found direction after the mountaintop. And in verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said, boy, up on top of the mountaintop, I mean, the nation of Israel looked at the mountain, they said, that mountain is burning with fire. We're not that interested in going up there. Why? They were afraid. They were afraid of the power of God, and Moses goes up there, and he meets with God, and Joshua goes up and meets with God, and when they come back down, they still had a promise of God's presence. And, well, you have to go to this special place to meet with me and have this presence. You have to go to camp, or you have to go to a youth rally, or you have to go to a spring retreat, or you have to go to special meetings. You have to go somewhere where God is, because he's not where you live. That's not the God we serve. He says, you have the promise of God's presence with you. You have the promise of this. And you know where, you know what that central place is where they knew that God was going to be able to speak to them and they were going to be able to get away from the camp and everything else? That was the tabernacle. And say, what is that for us? That's church. It's church. You're going to have to leave here and tomorrow morning, be back at whatever you have to do. That counts for all of us. You know, we had the missions conference. Like, oh man, that's unbelievable. These preachers come in, and it's so amazing. And we have our Northwest Bible Conference in November, and we bring preachers in, and they preach to us, and we hear things, probably some of the same things, but with a different voice and different personality. And man, it touches our hearts and we get excited about it. And we say, that's so great. Or we go somewhere to hear somebody else preach or go to another church or go to a special meeting somewhere. And we say, man, God just dealt with us and God spoke to us. Yeah, I'm glad he does that. It's great that he does that. But you know what we have? We have this tabernacle here. We have this place here where we come away from the world. We come away from the stuff. We come into this place by choice. And we come and we say, Lord, please speak to us. And the preacher might preach too long, but maybe that one song that you sang touched your heart and said, man, that gave me what I needed to keep going. Maybe the Lord was dealing with your heart about something and the preacher was preaching about something completely different. But man, God met with you and you said, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to open up the word and I'm going to give him reverence. And I'm going to, from this morning, I'm going to worship him and I'm going to praise him and I'm going to put him in his rightful place. What happens? That keeps you on the mountaintop. That keeps you on the mountain. Different place, not surrounded by all the same people, but we're talking about a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about a walk with God. We're talking about a promised presence of God in our lives. And it doesn't have to be some special magical moment of the mountaintop where nothing will ever be the same. No, there's been times sweeter than those mountaintops. When you're reading your Bible and you're talking to God alone and you're praising the Lord and you're wanting to do the right thing and the Lord uses you to be a witness or a testimony for him and you say, man, God did that. God used me to do that in somebody else's life. when we're just obedient and giving of ourselves to the Lord. Man, that's far greater than any mountaintop church service experience, because we don't live for God in the church services. We live for God outside of the church services. The church services are the place where we can come and we can get some of that focused direction, and we can get that fellowship one with another. We can get that encouragement from each other to focus and direct and keep going. That's what those of us that went to Treasure Valley this past week say, oh man, well, it was just so amazing. It's where God was. No, I know that He comes home with me in the car. I know that God meets with us where we are, and God blesses what He's given us here. And it is nice to have some time to go away, and for preachers to, I can just sit down. No one's asking anything of me. No one's coming and saying, hey, will you preach? No one's asking me to do that. They did ask me to sing one time. We pulled that off, all right, with a small group. But nobody was enjoy being preached to and at. And you enjoy being in the Word and hearing some other men speak of some ministry things. But guess what happens? You get in the car and you come home. I don't want to be there. I want to be here. This is where God has placed us. This is where God has placed our church. This is what's supposed to be special to us. This is where we come and become encouraged. This is where we can come and hear the Lord speak and then go back to our homes and go back to our towns that we live and try to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that found? That's found in church. So how do you keep that mountaintop experience? You have His law still. It's the same. It's the same one that they were using at camp. We have it. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through His Word. And we have a place where we can come and get apart from everything and serve the Lord and be active serving the Lord and have a part of rejoicing in the Lord and understanding that He knows who we are. Why? Because the Lord can speak to us through His Word and through the preaching of His Word. The Creator of the universe can come right down to your individual seat. You know what can happen? Two people can be sitting beside each other. One can be trying to hear from the Lord, and the other one can be ignoring the Lord. And one God speaks to very plainly and boldly and loudly, and the other one, it just sounds like a far-off whisper. God can speak to us, individuals. The Creator of the universe cares enough about us to speak to our hearts and to our minds. Through His Word in a church service, when we separate ourselves and we come in and we try to get our attitudes right and try to lift up the Lord and worship Him. Stay close to the Lord, not afar off. Stay close to where the Lord is. Don't just say, well, the Lord's probably blessing over there. That's probably where it's happening. And if we're not careful, we can despise the Lord in the place that He's put us. We're thinking, well, boy, nothing's like that Sinai. Nothing's like that Mount Sinai up there where we could serve the Lord and we could hear the Lord so plainly. You know, like trying to chase the next adrenaline rush or something. Some people are like that. Some people, especially back east, because things are a little bit more in close quarters, and Pastor Aaron and others could attest to it. There's people that they meeting hop. They just chase all these meetings where everybody comes together and where they can hear all these favorite preachers, and they just go here and they go there, and then the Lord asks them to submit to a local church, and they're like, well, I can't do that. It's just not like all those other meetings. Man, God has so much for us where we are, for us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And young people coming down from the mountain, God's not gone. God didn't go anywhere. He still wants to speak. He still wants to speak loudly. He still wants to give direction. The promise of His presence is still there. The assurance of God, and He knows who you are, and you're in His grace if you're saved and born again. All those things you get to take with you. His law, you get to open this up and you can be in this every day. And God can speak to you through His word every day. And what a blessing it is to have that. What a blessing it is to know that God has provided something after the mountaintop. God has provided something. Now we have to do a little work, right? The counselors aren't making sure you're there every time. The counselors aren't waking you up so that you can show up and be at this thing and do this other thing. And it's time for games and it's time for this other area and it's time to go and be a part of this thing. No, that's not happening. Hopefully your parents are making you come. Hopefully your parents are having some regulations in your life a little bit. But it takes a little bit of work on your part. But boy, God sure is good to us. And God sure does provide for us. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is to have that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer tonight. I know it's a different service. We went straight from the video. We kind of jumped right into a little bit of a Bible lesson. But the charge is, the idea is that the Lord has provided for us. Those mountaintop experiences, man, praise God for that. Praise God for those times when we can get away and things are different and things are they're exciting and things are happening and moving and we're meeting people. Thank God for all those times. Thank God for those opportunities where we're kind of just drawn apart from the world and some of the snares and some of the routine and the habits we're pulled out of those. We're pulled out of those situations to where God can speak and we have this concentration of the Word of God and that concentration of the law of God. Praise the Lord for those times. But when we come down off the mountain, God didn't go anywhere. He didn't leave us. He didn't say, well, you have to go back there to Black Lake Camp in order to hear from me. Well, you have to wait till next year. That's when camp will be. Or spring retreat's coming up. Or this next meeting is going to be over here. So just hold down the fort till we get there. No, God is with you. If you're saved and born again, His Holy Spirit dwells in you. He wants to lead and guide and direct and show you how to walk and give you joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and patience. He wants to give you all of those things and continue to work in your life in those areas. We can't constantly stay on the mountaintop. Eventually at camp, you run out of people to witness to. You run out of people to be a blessing to and give your testimony to. God's called us to do something for Him. And that means be active and be set apart and enjoy those mountaintop places, but understand that God is with us. And He blesses us and He establishes local churches and He establishes places where we can come and encourage one another and love one another and rejoice with each other and weep with each other and live the Christian life with each other. What a blessing it is. Lord, thank you so much for camp a couple weeks ago, and thank you for the video and the hard work put together for that, and able to kind of see that as a church and see the goofy things, the fun things. Lord, get a little insight on the services and the singing and the lifting up your name and the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless those things that were done at camp. You continue to bless those decisions in the heart of young people and counselors alike, that you would, Lord, all the kids that were there from several different churches, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to them about those things and those decisions that were made. Lord, your Holy Spirit would put their feet to the fire and hold them accountable for those promises that they made. And Lord, I ask that you would continue to bless and you continue to give them victories in their life. And Lord, that you'd use their local churches, the places where you've put them, and you would use their preachers and their pastors and their youth pastors. And Lord, the people in their churches, Lord, that you would use them to continue to encourage the young people and continue to see them fight the good fight. And Lord, to see have the victories and to have the praises for your goodness. And Lord, that you'd continue that. Lord, you wouldn't allow it to be drowned out by the things of the world. Lord, you wouldn't allow it to be forgotten so soon in the busyness and the distractions of the world. But Lord, that these young people, these young adults would, Lord, establish that walk with you. And they would continue to be strong in that walk. Lord, and understand its importance. Give them wisdom beyond their experience. Lord, and help them to establish those good habits. As Brother Havman was talking about, establishing those good habits now as young people. It's going to carry them through their life and through their Christian walk. And Lord, I pray you bless it. Lord, we thank you for being such a good God to us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us assurances and giving us promises in your word. Lord, and that for loving us and being with us and continuing to speak to us. And Lord, bless now as we continue on. Lord, bless the fair this week, Lord, please. We ask you to let the tracts that go out, Lord, get into pockets and be read and have people thinking about you and thinking about God, those that are lost, Lord, thinking about eternity. Lord, allow us to be able to give them the truth of the gospel and the freedom of salvation. Lord, allow us to give somebody the assurance of their salvation. Lord, that we could see fruit, Lord, that it would be to your account. Lord, if you see fit, Lord, if there could be any fruit given to this local church, of people that want to come and grow in the Lord and hear the Bible and grow in the truth of the Scriptures, Lord, that you would add them to our church, Lord. But the increase comes from you, Lord. Just allow us to be faithful. Thank you again for the opportunity of the fair. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it. Lord, bless all those that are going to work in it, Lord, and give them good health, Lord, and just bless us now. Lord, help us to be the soldiers and servants we need to be for you. And Lord, give us the strength to have praise on our lips for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. You are dismissed.